Hi, everyone.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Think Atheist. I'm your host, Rachel Johnson. And today we're going to talk about a few things. Welcome to the show, by the way, everyone. I want to get started with how wonderful is it when you wake up and Trump is absolutely disturbed. Donald the dotard is furious today, and the White House is in crisis. And so, you know, I'm kind of a little bit excited about this. You have to forgive me. I'm a little bit of a sadist in that I enjoy when the White House is in crisis right now. Never did before, but, you know, there's always a first time for everything. So, real quickly, I'm a little bit snuffly today. The cold got me. So I'm on the orange juice, and I'm still here because I think that, you know, I really loved doing this show before, and I really do love doing it again. I love speaking to people. It's the most greatest thing that I get to do. So I'm back. I'm going to try to keep doing the shows. I'm going to try to be consistent on, like, a daily basis. There will be days, there will be times when I can't or won't get to it, but I'm going to try to be here. So I want to thank everyone who's loyally listened to this show for a long time, and I want to say how much I appreciate you being here and listening to me drool on. It's been a great ride, and I've talked to many wonderful people. So just wanted to throw that out there for you and let you know. Look, I want to make 2018 a year when I can get back to doing the things that I really love to do. I've been busy with school and new relationship and new job and transitioning from this to that. So it's been a bit hectic, and my life has taken a lot of turns. And I feel like now I'm a little bit more in a place where I can take 30 minutes out of my day and say, you know, put some information out there, and if, hey, if people enjoy how I'm doing it, great. If they don't, okay, well, I'm not your cup of tea, or you hate me, or you don't like me, or we can't be besties, whatever. So, okay. Anyhow, on we go. So new information has come to light in the last couple days. There's been this skirmish between Bannon and the White House and Donald Trump Jr. That's where it started, Bannon and Donald Trump Jr. So Bannon goes on the attack saying that what Donald Trump Jr. did was treasonous. And, of course, Daddy took up for his son. So, Donald gets all fire and fury about this. And I'm going to use that term today a lot because I love it. I love that this is so symbolic of what we're going to be seeing very soon. Anyhow, the skirmish goes forward that now you have Trump attacking Bannon. You have, you know, rich donors, the Mercers, who have decided that, hey, they don't want anything to do with Bannon because he's on the attack to Donald. And these conservatives are fully standing behind this unhinged madman in the White House. So, moving forward, then the New York Times is coming out yesterday with some new testimony, I guess you could say. It's not really testimony. It's kind of like they have witnesses who say that X, Y, and Z happened, and we'll see how that goes because that's quite strong information to have. And the likelihood is that Steve Bannon was behind a little bit of that. Now, he would only be one of the two that they have confirming these stories. So, you know, I think it's good that they didn't just rely on the word of somebody who maybe is a little bit irate with the White House, whatever. So what has happened is the Fire and Fury, it's a book that just literally came out today and is sold out on Amazon. You can't get it just yet. I mean, you can put it on a hold list where you'll be notified when it's ready and then you can buy it. But I looked this morning because, you know, as soon as I saw, because they said yesterday that they were going to release it today. So I got up this morning and I saw people talking about it on Twitter, and I looked it up, and on Amazon, you can't get it. which I was kind of bummed out because I want to see what this is saying, because a few of the leaks from there are quite juicy. One of the things it said was that when Steve Bannon wasn't there, you know, because him and Trump were being besties, that Trump would be in bed by 6:30 p.m. With a cheeseburger, that him and Melania don't share the same bedroom, and things like that that tell you about the coldness, the crassness, the lack of love, compassion, togetherness in the White House, the sordid affairs that have been going on. In fact, one of the things that has come out of this is talking about the fact that, and this was one of the highlights in the title. So Jeff Sessions, recusal. He was pressured by the public, okay? So we have Donald Trump in the background saying to him, listen, do not recuse yourself. I want you on this. I need you to stay. The general public, us, the resistance, is out there pressuring. We're saying this is not acceptable. You know, Jeff Sessions was there for the Trump campaign. He met with Russians. This man cannot look at this case with, you know, without some kind of bias. So, you know, the way that this would fall, he did recuse himself. So then we move forward and we talk about James Comey, FBI director. So Donald Trump was in the background and he was pressuring James Comey to say, hey, look, you're not under investigation. So as this was happening, Donald Trump talked to the White House lawyers. I believe they're the White House lawyers. He was talking to lawyers, and one of them tried to deceive him into whether or not he could remove James Comey, because the lawyer knew that removing him was problematic because of the situation. So Donald Trump figured out that, yes, he could remove James Comey, and he did so with knowledge of what he was doing. Like, this wasn't as innocent and innocuous as he would love for us all to believe. So these things are coming to light in the last few days. Donald Trump has been in a rage. And then you have this fired jury who they literally moved their publication date by weeks, jumping and bounding to get it out there before this thing could be shut down, because Donald Trump's lawyers had sent a letter of cease and desist saying that, you know, Bannon had violated his confidentiality agreement. And then, of course, Trump later said, well, it's all lies. So then Stephen Colbert took it up and he was like, look, what is it? Is it either lies or is it he violated his confidentiality agreement? So look up that clip, Stephen Colbert, because it is absolutely hilarious and you will love it. But this book, Fire and Fury, is from Michael Wolff, and it's $20 on Amazon. I think that it's going to be well worth the read. And from what I'm seeing, we're seeing the rift in the conservative party tear even further apart. So you have the people who are really going into the Trump camp, and you have the people who are really turning away from the Trump camp. And this is important, but it's more important that, like, former White House attorneys, former ethics directors, people who have dealt with these kind of issues are saying, look, this is a lot of trouble. We're getting into waters that, you know, these are not good. And it's coming to light how awful this truly is. And I think that's the thing that I'm enjoying the most, because there haven't been a lot of those moments since the election was stolen from Hillary. And, you know, the facts and the evidence is just, it's amassing. I think that this was one of the things that Donald Trump didn't think would occur here in America. Because, see, as a private citizen, he didn't have to face this level of scrutiny. He was doing whatever he wanted in the background of his life. You know, he was shafting people who were working for him, and he was sicking attorneys on them, and it worked. He kept his position. He kept whatever money he pretends to have by doing this, by actually just coercing people into silence And then by trying to, you know, use his money to gain political power, in that he tried to keep, like, prosecutors and other politicians on his side so that he could go down this road and do these bad business deals, continue to be wealthy. And what he didn't realize is that that was him dealing with a fraction of the American public. And that one of the things I love about this nation is that when it comes down to it, we are such a watchdog nation that inevitably somebody's going to tell, somebody's going to have the facts, it's going to come out. We grow up loving our democracy, and for those of you, I learned yesterday that 9.52% of my listeners are Russian. So if you're out there and you're in Russia and you're listening to me, I want to let you know, we are very diligent about this. You know, I think the Russians thought that we would be more like them and that it wouldn't be go as many times as it is. But America is great at that. We do that. When the chips are down, we don't tend to, like, just fall apart. We tend to get stronger. We're like the underdog watchdog. We just pile on, and we have so many people who are very dedicated to justice, equality, intellectual honesty, that if you're doing something terrible, you know, we will rise up and we will find you out and we will get rid of you. I mean, I'm not going to say that America is perfect and that bad things don't happen. They certainly, certainly do. But overwhelmingly, we take it to task more than I think these dictator and fascist nations ever could, that we want our leaders checked, that we want our leadership checked, that we are the guardians at the gate. And ultimately, it comes back to us, the people. So I think that's where the Russians really underestimated us, because it isn't going to stop here. You know, the thing about it is, once we smell blood in the water, we're like sharks as well. We're just a bunch of animals. Anyhow, because once we smell the blood, we're on to it. You know, this isn't going to die out. This is only going to escalate from here. Because once we start having confirmation of these things, you can better believe that Bannon is going to have to go before Mueller. You can better believe that they're going to be checking all of this evidence if they don't already have it, because they have over 5,000 emails from the Trump team, from the transition team, okay? So they could already know all of this, and Mueller be sipping his coffee being like, yeah, I know. And we would never know it for months and months to come, because where we are is he's completely ahead of us. It's like we're running a race and he's already in 2 laps and we've just started out of the gate. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised with that at all. But I love that. I love that about this nation. You know, I love that, you know, we get into all the cracks. That's like, you know, and this is not even totally related at all, but Apple got caught just recently slowing down old phones and killing the battery. And, you know, it took one person, one kid, to try and figure this out, and he did. And this began a lawsuit. The lawsuit led to Apple admitting it. And now they're going to have even more issues because they got busted at this. But that's this nation in summation. You know, we're going to get into those cracks. We're going to find out what happened. We are a nation of investigators. Like, we love to know. We get to the heart of it. I'm hoping that so much more comes out of this. This book, Fire and Fury, should be supported fully. I think that everyone should have a copy. And it's going to devastate Donald Trump so much, because he is going to be livid that people know his personal life and it's not what he wants people to believe. You know, he wants people to believe he's this suave, debonair man who is in control and has all this power, and he lives this luxurious life where his wife is this dog at his feet. If you've ever seen the pictures of quote unquote them together, you should totally look, because he has one where Melania is laying on a piano, one where she's at his feet, and things like that, like she is submissive to him or his plaything. So seeing this this book, Fire and Fury, again by Michael Wolff, learn a whole lot more information. Now, I want to talk again about Jeff Sessions, his recusal. And this is important because, you know, people have become, Republicans specifically, let's be specific, have begun to attack Mueller. And the thing is that they're calling into question his credibility, his bias, everything that has to do around what he is investigating. But we already know, those of us who have been kept apprised on Twitter, and I do, I follow so many wonderful people on Twitter, and if you are on Twitter, please look me up. Please look the other people that I follow up. A lot of them are very intelligent people who are abreast of the situation and up to date on new information, I mean hourly, daily. They know people who know people, very important stuff. And I tend to stay at least a day to a week ahead of things that you can see on Facebook and other places. And I'm really grateful for that because I love it. I love being right there up to date. But Jeff Sessions, oh, this man. You know, I've seen his testimony before Congress and where he said that, like, look, you're just trying to make it look like I'm guilty of things that I'm not really guilty of, and that's not a quote from him, that's me paraphrasing. And him trying to make it look like he didn't quite lie and he didn't, you know, hide or anything in, as a career politician. He knows what to say, when to say it. Okay, so we can kind of know that he's guilty, but he will totter on the edge of not really telling you a lie, but kind of being in the murky waters. And he's been in the murk for quite a while. Now, it should get interesting with him and his quote-unquote future career, because he is going to be facing some problems, as he said that he would not go after marijuana because some states have legalized it, a few states have, and for recreational use. And now he is turning the page and saying, look, I'm going to go after these people. But Jeff Sessions himself, we know he's part of the dirt. Part of the dirt, we don't know. Okay, because we don't know if information actually exists showing that this man was up to some collusion or doing some terrible thing, we have the wait-and-see game with him. But he seems like, you know, he seems like the kind of guy that could get up to some bad, bad things. To me, he looks like a vindictive Hubler elf, the kind that would, like, spit in your cookie, you know, and then just feed it to you with a smile, like, here you go, have some cookies. And I don't like Jeff Sessions. Even if he had never made it to be Attorney General, even if he was just in the Senate, his whole history is just, it's absolutely disturbing. The only thing that I think that he did do good was recuse himself. But he didn't do it for good reason. He did it for dishonest reasons. He did it because he didn't want John Q. Public angry and getting him removed, because it was either recusal or removal. And he chose recusal, which says a lot. You know, he knew that he had a broader agenda in his head. And I think that's why he wanted to stay. Because if he got removed, he couldn't enact this horrific agenda. But if he stayed, he could. Now, there are some Congress persons, congressional leaders, who are going to go after him, because when he was confirmed, he said that he would not interfere in states' rights to legalize recreational marijuana. And so because he said that he would not, and he was confirmed, and now he is trying to do something else, it actually violates the rationale behind his confirmation. So that should go interestingly here shortly too. We should be seeing some answers to that. But, you know, I have just a little bit more left, and then I'm going to wrap it up for today. I think that the happiest moments since November 4th, 2016 have been the ones where I've seen, like, in the last 24 hours, this movement towards, you know, finding out what Dirty Donald is up to and leading towards his shame, disgrace, and removal. And, you know, one of the things that I literally just saw, well, I saw a couple things, and I want to say this real quick, but one of the things that I saw on Twitter was Scientific America talking about the CDC is going to start preparation for what to do after a nuclear attack. So the nuclear fallout part, you know, deal with the casualties, deal with, you know, what goes on. And this is some serious, serious talk, okay? We're past Dirty Donald's beta threat to Kim Jong-un. We're to an area where it gets scary, because next thing you know, we're talking about kids getting under desks or in hallways, which absolutely would never save them from anything. They would just be, you know, dust in a hallway. And, you know, I didn't know it as a little kid. We used to do those drills. And now that I'm an adult and I do understand what actual fallout would be, how bad and horrific, how much radiation would be in the air, how for thousands and thousands of years no one could enter that area and live without problems. I mean, I sit here and I wonder why senators, why people would want to let this man continue taunting an unhinged leader when he's an unhinged leader. Came on here was Sean Hannity. And if you've kept up with anything in the world, then you know that Sean Hannity is, he has said this. He has said that he will stand behind Trump to the end, no matter what he does, no matter what. And I was thinking about this before I came on, and I was like, he's like the Twilight Zone of news. He's not even the no-spin zone or the spin zone. He's like the Twilight Zone of news, because most of his bullshit is just that. It's fabricated. It's twisted. It's nonsense. It's like he went off the crazy train rails a long time ago, and nobody's coming back for him. So that should be interesting. I think his career is going to be over when Dotard Donald is. And I certainly do hope so, because this man has been nothing but a pain in the ass for America. He has been one of the most regrettable suck-ups that Dotard Donald has. So, anyhow, you know, if you want to keep up with the current events, Twitter is a great place to start. If you have your own opinion, I'd be glad to hear it, and I'd be glad to share it with others as well. If you're part of the resistance, and I hope you are, just remember, just keep fighting. This is going to get worse before it gets better. So, you know, it's been a struggle. It's hard to believe it's been a year already. And it seems like a year isn't much, and so much has happened, and so much has changed, and so much that we saw is not what we used to see. And I hope that America really wakes up from this and learns so many lessons, and that different laws are put into place so that these things don't occur again. But you never know, because the human state is a fragile state, and we're seeing that. And I think that this is a lesson for America, that when, you know, corporations get out of control, that when they get so greedy that they want to destroy the people who they utilize to achieve their magnitude, that they will crush the people in the society in which they exist. And we need to rein them in. We need to rein in corporations. We need to rein in our senators. we need to really take a look at the core values of America and say, is this what we really want to stand for? And I don't think it is. I think the average person really wants a better life. And I think the average person works really hard for a better life, those that can. We have disabled people who need us here in America. We have poor, we have children. And a lot of times I think that those are really the people left behind. Because I don't think we need to worry about corporations or the rich. They're doing okay. But our children and living in poverty and the disabled and the elderly, those are the people who are really left on the fringe. And I think that they feel that they don't have much voice or anyone listening, can't supply tons of money. You know, they can't prop anyone up. All they can do is continue to exist and hope for better. And I want to be a voice for them because those are the people who need a voice the most. And, you know, when I vote with that in mind. When I act with that in mind. I'm not a moral leader. I am just simply a woman with a voice, and I've always just been that. You know, I'm proud to be an atheist. I'm proud to be rational, logical. And I take this to heart. This is my country. This is where I stand. And especially, you know, in these times when that is jeopardized and threatened, I think that's even more reason that we have to stand up and speak out and say what we have to say to each other, to the world, that we can't let this be who we are and how we're seen. You know, America is a beautiful place. We have lots of immigrants. We have lots of culture. We have lots of diversity. I can literally drive through Cleveland and see so many diverse people and diverse cultures and ethnic foods and different ways of behaving, thinking, speaking. But one thing I see as similar is that American people all want to have a good life, a good home. They want to love their family. They want to not just survive but thrive. And so I think we need to just get back to the basics of caring about each other. And, you know, I've dealt with libertarians and Republicans, and it's disturbing how greedy people can be. You know, I talked to libertarians who are like, they would let you bleed to death in a parking lot. And I don't think that's who we need leading this nation or an idea that we need spreading through this nation. So anyhow, this is about it. That's enough of my ranting for one day. So look that up, Fire and Fury. Find me on Twitter as Rachel Osiris. It's Rachel and then O-S-I-R-I-S, Osiris. I'm also on Facebook at Rachel Johnson. And please feel free to leave a comment with me or let me know how you think I'm doing. I'd be glad to hear from you. And stay fighting. If you're not part of the resistance, become part of the resistance. If you need help finding your senators, just look them up on Google and, you know, talk to people. There is something called ResistBot that can help you message your senators or your House representatives, even your governor. It's 50409. It texts Resist to that. They're also on Facebook, and they can even email. So however you find them, find ResistBot. It will help you send the message that you expect so much more from your leadership. Until tomorrow, hopefully tomorrow, take care of yourself and have a wonderful day, everyone. Thank you for joining me. This is the Pink Atheist, and I'm your host, Rachel Johnson. Thank you.